Blog Talk Radio.
Carol Dean, author of The Art of Film Funding and faculty member of the New York Film Academy, will soon begin a new session of her uniquely creative intentional filmmaking class. Intentional filmmakers are taught current financing and marketing and distribution techniques. We each focus on creating and achieving our goals by using our intentions and our skills. There are three classes: the Mastermind class taught with Tom Malloy for features, Carol's Trailblazers class for documentary films in early stages, and her Pathfinders class for documentary films in later stages of production. The class size is limited, and there is a discount for early enrollment. Call Carol at 805-984-0098 for more information, and visit FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Our guest today, Demetrius Bagley, is an award-winning events and movie producer. His recent work has been with the independent documentary Vegetated and public TV cooking show Vegan Mashup. Thank you for joining us, Demetrius.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here and meet you both.
Yes, it's a delight, Dimitri. I really enjoyed your film because it was very educating. It was veducating. However, I really want to know more about the production behind the film, so I'd like to start with that. First, I would say that you must have had a dedicated crew to make this. So were many of them vegans?
Only a few were vegans. The filmmaker that you see in the film, Marisa, I call her the filmmaker, a writer, director, and many other hyphenates, she was a new vegan. And Frank, our other producer, who I call, quote unquote, the daddy of the film, to me being the midwife and the kind of guardian of the film now, he was also vegan. And then, of course, they're still both vegan. So a few were, but overall most were not. Starting with the film, a number of people have shifted to eating more vegan and even fully into a vegan diet since working on the film and actually seeing the completed piece on DVD or otherwise.
Oh, I see. Well, how many years were you in production?
This was in production from 05 until about this time, 2 years ago, 2011. So 6 years, largely on the, well, I can't say chopping block, but let's say the editing, proverbial editing table or editing screen. Marisa set out to make an activist tool and ideally wanted to do it in 1 year. She really did not set out to make, so to speak, a movie, a film piece, because she's so tenacious and meticulous and wanted something that was effective. She went on this detour that took that long, or actually longer than that, and came up with what we see now. But she didn't set out to make a movie or a film. If she had, maybe she wouldn't have done it, or had buckled up earlier on. As we know, most films are not made in a year, certainly not first-time films, and certainly not documentaries.
No, absolutely not. No, well, there's a lot of dedication in this film, and a lot of the short clips that are in there are precious. And I just see all the work that went on in the pre-planning of the film. It really paid off. So may I ask if you were funded by any grants?
Yes, this definitely was funded by a number of grants. Although maybe not as many as it would seem, we received money from and support from Animal Welfare Trust. We received money from Veg Fund. We received money from Culture and Animals Foundation, and then a few others. But people will note, these are more animal rights, animal welfare groups, organizations, and I believe all nonprofits. that gave us money to make media. There's not a ton of feature length or, let's say, hour or longer media that focuses on what vegan is, what it could be, what the benefits are in the way, in any way, particularly in the way that we did it, which was to use more humor and persuasion and kind of a reality TV show, if you will. Keep in mind, this whole project is almost 10 years old at this point, since it was conceived in, or conceptualized anyway, in 2004. It's a in some ways a response to, and certainly was inspired by, Super Size Me and Marisa flipping the idea and saying, well, what if this went towards health? What if this was about going towards vegan and then showing what that journey, that going across the bridge from omnivore to vegan is, and learning the primary issues at that time. Organic and GMO were not as prominent discussion pieces then as when she started. And, of course, there's only so much you can fit into 77 minutes. But that's a lot about what was going on, is she wanted that activist tool, and she wanted a persuasive and on video, and she was responding to, well, this is a great idea, and, of course, Super Size Me did very, very well, critically and certainly commercially. What if this were flipped and promoting, okay, here's an easy tool?
Absolutely. No, it is an easy tool, because not only do you tell us stuff, you show us stuff, you take us by the hand, and you make it all seem so easy, and we get to watch other people, and we can relate to them. So I don't want to give the film away, but I really loved it. So let me ask you, did you get some of your funding from the vegan, vegetarian community?
Absolutely. The groups I named and a few others, some are private funders, let's say, they are all veg concerned, if not actually veg, animal concerned, and friends of animals, no pun intended, to that particular group, and funding from there. That was, I'm just going through a sheet in my head, that was where a ton of support came from, whether money, labor, kind words, introductions, and many, many, many other things. So, yes, there was a lot of support from the veg and AR communities and actual groups writing a check. There was also a good deal of money from, very common for first-time filmmakers, from family and from friends, former bosses, et cetera. But, yes, by and large, the veg community supported Marisa and our team to get this film from conceptualization to shot to not leaving the footage, to rot or just sit and collect dust in any drawer or shelf anywhere else, and then to come out just about 2 years ago.
When did you come on?
I came on just 3 years ago at the beginning of August. The film was about 96, quote-unquote, percent done. We knew we had to get E&O. We were pretty sure we had to make some changes to the actual, some of the graphic and key footage in the piece. There were some questions about musical rights. Moby was very generous to us and donated a couple short pieces of music. We had to actually kind of move those around, which technically became not legal technical, but just the film technical. That became a little bit of a snafu because of the timing, and actually where we were switching it to was footage we had to change, and so the timing didn't quite match. So that was a little dance for a few weeks. But when I came on, the premise was, help me get this film out. I have a film now. I need to get it out. It's pretty much ready to go. I need to get it out into the world. I need to figure out what that journey from now to, quote-unquote, my language, birth, and beyond that is, to get it in front of a lot of eyeballs and hopefully to make some of the many, 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 many dollars borrowed, loaned, and granted back. So maybe it could be a break even. So I signed on, certainly not film world jargon, to be the midwife,
right?
The creative midwife, and also to be the what I call the guardian or the Manny, without tripping into that word too much, of the film. Marisa being the mother, and again Frank Matasca, the first producer on the film. He was, let's do this now. Like, well, let's wait. No, let's do this now. We have the equipment. It's summer. Let's get this ad on Craigslist. We have all these responses. You see him super brief in the film. I don't remember the time code where it is. It's literally like 2 seconds, because he's actually shooting a lot of that early footage where we go to Tesla and Tesla's parents' house when we're visiting with Brian the first couple times. And then I think Alan actually is another camera person there. So the 3 years I've seen it go from a number of people knowing about it, let's say dozens. No, there were a good few hundred people that knew about it because she had worked on it so long and had reached out and had been interviewed and is super well networked. In many communities, including animal rights, vegan, and the film community, because she had this unique piece in New York. And, of course, there are not as many female filmmakers as we would like here in New York, much less in the world. I won't try to recount the whole journey. I think that's many, many hours of show or writing. It's been a great, surprising, exciting run. At the same time, vegan has gotten more, not just in the U.S., but certainly in the, quote, Western world. It's gotten more well-known because of Forks Over Knives, hopefully because of Educated, certainly because the food shelves are changing. Dairy milk is slightly declining and certainly has been quite expensive. In recent years, and there are just so many more options that people know about, and then know some of the benefits of that. So it's been an interesting journey just to watch, even though I came in, atypically late, but I came in right at the point, like, where I don't know that a lot of creatives, much less filmmakers, there's the creative production, and then there's quote unquote, and then there's the business production. Those can certainly be in tandem, and somewhat they were here, but more they were, you know, part one, part two, and so I've been part of part two. I'm still part of part two.
For the marketing, right? Well, when you were hired on, and she said, "Let's take this to the masses," what did you do? What were your first steps in marketing?
I came on to market the film, to help brand it and exploit the brand, to help figure out distribution, and many, many, many other questions. The initial title that I was going to take was Producer of Marketing and Distribution, because I was coming on so late, so we dropped all the title except producer, because there were so many, quote, small business items to be concerned with, which in the end probably play back into the distribution umbrella. What I initially did was, we didn't know each other super well, but we definitely knew each other by way of NYC Vegan Mafia group, actually. So I sat down and tried to get a rewind of where she had been with the film, why the film, some key milestones, Frank's role in the film, and a few other people. Where was the cast at as far as their journey? Could they participate in different events? We really kind of surveyed not so much the literal landscape, but our different options of how to go forward. Did we want to pursue film festivals? Did we want to premiere online? Did we want to be on DVD at all or skip that, and what these different things meant. So we spent a good few weeks, if not months, kind of a mix of both, just sitting down and learning who each other were and what the film was and wasn't, and how we wanted to put it out there. We very quickly decided we wanted to keep a spirit of fun. That was certainly a part of the point of the film to be more persuasive around the issues here. It's still truthful and even, quote, graphic. We wanted to keep certainly part of our name, pardon me, with being educational. And we wanted to be accessible. We didn't want to pander or candy coat, but we also didn't want to come off aggressively. We didn't want to, we don't want to be provocative. It doesn't match what the final film work is. So just a lot of time going through options and what was possible, and then pretty rapidly, I don't remember when we started, I have to search back through emails, not quite 2 years ago, I think it was late 2011, maybe even autumn, as autumn began, we started applying to film festivals. Actually, it was probably summer. We did apply to Sundance because just in case they wanted us, we did. We didn't get in, of course. And then from there, we just started going through the list, you know, where do we want to apply to? When is it? Mapping that out, because once you've world premiered as a film or maybe any media piece, the clock start, well, several clocks have already started, but the clock starts on, quote, the newness of, again, not film jargon here, of your baby. There's only so long the baby is new and people are really excited, or the media project as it were, people are excited about it just from the newness. And so you want to capitalize on that as much as possible. So we did decide to go the film festival route after start there. The catch to that for me as a marketer is I have to have all these other pieces ready to go as soon as it world premieres, to still have other region and state and country premieres, not in that order. We honestly spent quite a year applying to film festivals, which is relatively easy once you've done a few, using the Without a Box service, which works with many, many of the film festivals today. And so you're able to repurpose a lot of the same language and answers. You can even buy credits for a discount if you're applying to, I think it's 10 festivals or 50 or 100 and such. I think we did the 50 or somewhere in the middle there. And I think we applied to a good, somewhere around 50, I think it was more than 50, but certainly not 100. And then we just waited, and while we're waiting for a yes, you know, we want the film, we'll world premiere it, we kept talking about the brand and marketing and different ideas, reaching out to different folks, applying for some more Finnish funding grants. We started researching Kickstarter, which was much newer then. I think Kickstarter is maybe 4 years old at this point, but at that point it was still, people knew of it. Well, let's say the creatives and the idea people knew of it. The public didn't know about it in the same way that it has learned this year with Zach Braff and Spike Lee running his, still actually I think his ends today or tomorrow actually, his Kickstarter, which was successful, and some others. So we researched that. If Marie says many things, as probably I am too, she's very, very, very studious. And so that's part of the film's success as an actual, you know, film work, and also things that have happened around it. And I also like to do my research and have a good, solid list and good, solid plan of what makes actual sense. And so us too, and it was pretty much us too, back to your earlier question about a team, many, jumping to that for a second, many people have helped. I mean, it takes a couple of villages to make a film is one of the things I knew, but actually learned working on this film. It was mostly her and I, you know, certainly reaching out to other people and emailing some different workshops, going to IFP here in New York, September 2011, and I had volunteered for them before, going back and getting some answers and feeling out some things. We researched Kickstarter, you know, I don't know, probably 23 ways to Sunday. We set up what we saw, you know, where the, for us, what the successes were based on successful film and other projects. And then we actually shelved it. We were scared to ask for so much money. I think we wanted to ask, we had decided initially to ask for $25,000 or $30,000. We got scared, and we shelved that. Basically, it's a set of spreadsheets in the end as far as the collected work. I think that was winter. That had to be the end of 2011. Or, I'm sorry, no, the end of 2010. beginning, I think it was winter 2011. And then we came back to it a good handful of months later, picked it up, made some small tweaks, and just said, okay, we have to go for it. We brought the number down to 20, the goal to 20,000. And then we hit, not super quickly, but pretty promptly, because we had done a lot of the legwork research. We hit go, I think it was July, I don't remember the start date. I think it was right around July 4th, 2011. And meanwhile, we're still waiting for film festivals. And we asked for 20. We were very lucky. We got 40,000, just a little over 40,000. And a lot of that was we were ready. We had researched it. Our rewards were strong. We reached out to numerous allies and sponsors to help promote the campaign and advertise. We knew we were pretty close to world premiering. In fact, at that point, I had said if a film festival doesn't take us by, I think it was about within 90 days or 60 days, so I had 30 days to plan, we would world premiere ourselves here in New York, where there's so many vegans. Almost all the cast and crew live. We know the vegan scene here. We have a lot of people who are ready to support us. We got to the end of the Kickstarter, or towards the end of the 30 days, and then we just almost after we were kind of like, we're not going to have a film festival, at least a world premiere, we got accepted by TIFF, not to be confused with the Big Hollywood International Film Festival, but the Independent, which ironically is the same time, almost sort of a Sundance Slam Dance parallel, or that's how it works in my mind. And that same weekend happens to be Toronto Veg Fest. So we world premiered that weekend. We barely had a month to go, and then the U.S. premiered about a month after that here in New York, and then Marisa went on a tour across the U.S. To actually a couple more film festivals, ironically, who accepted us all in this interim.
So
the best thing I
did. Did you premiere in New York? What place?
We rented out the School of Visual Arts. We rented out their theater, which used to be a public commercial theater. A lot of them have consolidated in Chelsea on 23rd. It's had a number of premieres there, and certainly private screenings and film festivals. We got a little red carpet, or actually a bigger red carpet that goes close to the curb. It has a big marquee. It just had a sense of style and space. We wanted to have a celebration party before and after the screening, preferably on site. And so we did that there because of the space is set up that way. But it belongs to the School of Visual Arts, 23rd and 8th year. And a very great, if intense, evening. We had almost 500 people come through.
Oh, how great. So that was a great opening. Well, let me ask you this. I noticed that GetEducated.com has screenings and libraries. So you are working with libraries. Tell me about this form of distribution.
One of the things we decided early on was this is a grassroots film. It needed community champions to show the film in their homes, in their libraries, community centers, churches, and any such, restaurants and so on. In general, most of our community screening hosts, which certainly have been primarily in the U.S., but also in Canada and over 24 countries around the world, they've come to us. They've heard about us through social media, a friend of a friend of a friend. Some of these people are organizers that Marisa has worked with before, over 10 years ago, before she started working on Veducated, when she was doing Kind Green Planet, and she was helping to show other activists, vegan activist films. So that's there. One of the things that we've seen with libraries is usually you can get their screening rooms, and these are in DVD, no film reels and all of that technical need. It's just about signing up far enough in advance and then just promoting where the screening is. So we sell screening kits out of our e-store so people can either a community screening host or even a host team buy the kit and license so they can legally show it wherever they would like to whatever number of people they've agreed to show it. But a number of libraries, I think I just had an order a couple weeks ago, are show for a kit. This is the kind of information their audience are asking for, as far as what to eat these days, what's this vegan thing, what's going on, what are the tools or resources, books, movies. I don't know if there's
so
much more than that.
You're selling to libraries, Demetrius, as well as you're screening there, but you're also selling to them.
Yes, we're selling to the community screening kit is because it's pretty much Marisa and I, and these days Marisa's at home with her 10-month old son, so it's largely me. She knew because she worked on the film so long that people come and go, which I think is the case with any long-term creative project, but that she couldn't get everywhere, even if we had the budget for it of money, because of the time and energy. And so we figured out we needed a lot of small, niche or not, but a lot of small documentaries to have this model of community screening. You get the movie from the filmmakers, and then you show it in your home to 12 people with vegan eats. You show it in your library to 50 to 100 or even more people, free room. But you always need that host or that host team. We have done that in a dozen or more cases. In general, though, it's because we're remote and we don't know all these different cities, towns, areas, and certainly people's homes, this is the way we've extended or worked to extend the film out into the world. And beyond these shores, or really just outside of the boroughs. Say again.
Do you have foreign distribution?
We do not have foreign distribution. We are foreign distribution. We would love that, though. Our digital distributor does have us in iTunes in Australia, Ireland, Great Britain, and then in a random smattering of countries for YouTube. But in general,
Are you thinking, or have you even tried theatrical on demand?
Our digital distributor, Film Buff, they have those rights, and so they will probably exploit those. I don't think that's next in the queue. That's up to them is the short answer.
Okay. All right. But basically, do you think that you're getting converts to a better diet from the film?
Yes. That's not the point of the film, per se, or the primary goal. The primary goal is just to get people talking about it and to be aware of it. We've heard a lot of great comments from people who are already veg or even vegan that it has opened up dialogue and understanding of family members, of spouses, of parents and or children, and so forth. That was more the primary conscious goal. Yeah, to answer your question more directly, yes, I see almost every day, whether Twitter, Facebook, or email, or all of them, or any combination thereof, people are shifting to vegan or more vegan eating because of their in response to the film. That's been very incredible. We certainly wanted that and anticipated some, but not to the level that we've seen. That's been really, really gratifying and the real profit of the film for us.
Oh, I bet it is. Well, let's go back to the crowdfunding campaign you had where you got double what you asked for. Can you give us some tips of what you did? You mentioned that you were connecting with a lot of organizations. Did you have them send out your email, because I'm sure you emailed your list quite often. Did you ask them to send that or a email to their crew or their members? And what did you find was the most effective way that you spread the word through organizations or through people. What worked?
It's key. I don't know that we went back and looked at it in that way, which might be a good thing to do in a Palmer moment now, because we went from the Kickstarter to, hey, you're going to world premiere, and then the rest of 2011 is a happy but a very intense blur for us. We were really deliberate about who we knew had big lists and then where we thought some of the bigger, let's say, potential spenders, contributors were. But we went after all of them. It's really key, and I've seen this, unfortunately, a good few times now with Kickstarters. You have to reach out to those people before you open the door on a Kickstarter. You really want people to rush and check out your Kickstarter page and the video, which is highly recommended, certainly by Kickstarter and also us, Team Veducated. So have, and the video doesn't have to be great, but it needs to be sincere. You're asking people for money who in general don't know you and probably don't know your project. And if you get the right kind of response from people you do know and organizations that do, this should ripple across the web including email, Facebook, Twitter, and certainly well beyond that. So other people come to that page who you may never meet, but who might throw $5, $50, $500, $5,000 even into the bucket. You don't always know what people will contribute. The key is a good video, not too long. Have that full page, detail your project, explain what you're doing, somewhat who you are, and certainly how the money will be spent. Make it more transparent. Those rewards have to make financial sense for you. You shouldn't be spending so much on those that you have to give back most of whatever you get from your goal money, plus you have to pay Amazon payments and Kickstarter. And then, there are many details to it, I think. But then the key is to have the allies, friends, family members, particular allies, just bluntly, who have big email lists and visibility, who can help you bring attention to your project. I think this is one of the ways creatives are, and will continue to, and certainly there are other crowdfunding sites. This is proof of concept. If you've done your homework on your project and this Kickstarter campaign or crowdfunding even, you should get the money. You should get the money before your 30 days, 60 days, 2 weeks, 90 days, or whatever is up. If you don't, then to me you have to go back and something's not right business-wise. It's not the right – it might be the idea. It just may be the campaigning. It's not the hardest thing in the world to do a crowdfunding campaign, in my opinion, but it's not the easiest. It's a lot of mundane work. It's a lot of communications. It's an inordinate amount of emails after it starts and certainly before. Those are the big key things. I have to say this again. I see a lot of campaigns that projects that I'd love to contribute, you know, the few bucks I have to, five here, ten there, but the rewards, even going up to 5,000, which certainly would be nice to give, the rewards aren't compelling. They're not interesting. They're not, some of that's the writing in a few cases, but by and large, you've got to nail those rewards. So definitely look at other campaigns that have closed and been successful, including I think one of the best examples, even though it's on a gargantuan scale, is the Veronica Mars movie. They were very, very deliberate and very studied about the rewards they could do and create, granted their project before they came onto Kickstarter. But that fun and creativity and involving people in the project before is key. One of the benefits I don't see people think about is Kickstarter is also a way, in addition to proof of concept, is to promote your project and to get it more visibility. Most projects will be in some sort of pre-production or production and not post-production stage. And so this is a way also to get more people following on Facebook, to sign up for your newsletter, to join you on Twitter and get interested and get involved. That was really key for us. We knew that going in, but I think we got a lot more people from that than we expected. And so that rippled out when we were able to come back, you know, not even that many weeks later, and say, hey, we're about to world premiere in Toronto, so now we have an international film premiere. And then that just took off in a whole, helped take off in an unexpected and certainly unplanned kind of way. But it's not just
well,
about the
what
money.
What happened? Did they help donate more money, or were they there to support you?
The people definitely gave a little bit more money. I think we found out right at the tail end we were going to Toronto, and so that pushed us, if I remember correctly, somewhere, helped push us from about 33,000 to 40, because then we were saying, hey, we'd like some more film to fly the cast to Toronto, which is international, as odd as I've seen sometimes from New York. And so those film, those flights costs were not as, we spent a little bit on airfare, but we were able to do that because people helped us in the Kickstarter to bring two of the three cast members up there. People want to help is one of the things that's been incredible. We certainly experienced, and probably is the most profound thing I've experienced working on the film, is asking and receiving. The generosity has been, I won't go into tears here as I did a couple weeks ago on camera for Marisa at our Veducator reunion, but it's people have been very, very generous, certainly with money, certainly with ears and time, introduction, free labor, volunteer, and interns, and many other food, places to sleep. I know there are many others. Those are some of the ones that quickly flash through my mind. A lot of it is about asking and them understanding what you're doing and who you are. And it is scary still for both or even for the whole team, our team, to ask. But because we knew a lot of times, okay, we need 20,000, we need this, we would try to see if we could do it ourselves. But then in many cases, which is, I know, is very, very common for independent projects, much less film, we asked, and many times, not every time, many times we got it, but we rarely made outrageous or even, many of our asks were very modest, too modest in one case where we got reprimanded and got more than we asked for. I do recommend Kickstarter to people, but do your homework and have some other people look at it before you pull the trigger. That's key to success.
No, I totally agree with you, because we Thumb the Heart is partners with Indiegogo, and so I work with a lot of filmmakers who are doing campaigns, and the secret is the pre-production. See, I loved it when you said that you worked for months on your pre-production and then you weren't sure, even then, after all that work. But it is what you said. It's a lot of pre-production, a lot of communication, and that's what makes it work. I think you told us a lot of wonderful things that you did to be successful in your campaign. I sincerely appreciate that. This is an education for most filmmakers. They don't like to hear how much work is involved, but that's what it takes, isn't it?
It is, and I'm very happy to share that, and probably will share that a good few more times, because that was, in some ways, one of the hardest big chunks of the last 3 years. It wasn't the hardest for me. Probably the planning the tour and a few other things was for me. But it also was very satisfying and gratifying to see how people supported, certainly with the money. That's part of making film, not just these days, but in the past. But again, there was a way that people got excited. Okay, when can I get the DVD and all that, which was part of our reward structure. That was when we kind of knew, okay, we've got to get this film out. We've got to get it. Oh, and I don't know if it's connected to that as far as it's getting accepted to the film festival. But then it was, I don't know, it was just their fun parts. The key thing, Marisa, one of the many things she would say about her experience, which maybe one day we'll get her to put into a book or a long series of blog posts, is you have to find collaborators that you are, I don't know how she would say, you have to find collaborators. I think filmmakers certainly come in many shapes and sizes of brains and energies and hearts. The Kickstarter is a business piece and a lot of numbers. I don't expect many creatives to be really that into it beyond kind of finessing the rewards. So find that person like me or someone that's happy to sit and play with the spreadsheets and figure out, okay, if we give these rewards, this is going to cost X number of dollars. Okay, so we need to bump this up so this makes sense if we reach the goal. What can we get donated that could be in a prize pack for, you know, $1,500? It takes quite a bit of ingenuity to come up with rewards that you don't end up just giving all the money back in fun or even not fun rewards. But I think a lot of filmmakers expect, particular writer-directors or writer-director-producers or any combination thereof or similar, no, film is collaborative. Find someone who will do it and follow through for you or even just give you that map so you can run. It's not that you have to keep doing more. It's that now you have a product, a story or stories, and you want to get it out into the world. You have to figure out how, to me, to make that leap, jump, or walk across the bridge to this other side so this piece does live in the world, can be out in the world, and not just this labor of love that's sitting on a shelf or in a drawer or just on a computer somewhere. And that's not, I don't think it's a hard thing to do, per se. I don't think it's an easy thing to do. I think it's just a whole nother, it's its own, I don't know how to best say this, it's a whole nother pie. It's not the other half of the pie or the plate or the, it's really a two-part, it's kind of a 1-2 punch, so to speak. The creative production, which clearly is its own thing, and then there's the business production. The ideal is to start the business, we haven't talked too much about social media and may not, but the key is to start, when you start pre-producing, is to have those businessy or business-minded collaborators, or at least a collaborator, advisor, someone there before. A lot of the key thing we did here that many, many filmmakers, most indie filmmakers do, we didn't have any film stills from the set or quote-unquote sets. And so all that plays into promotion and marketing and press, which could happen during pre-production and production, but post-production and even, quote-unquote, post-production or release when you have Facebook really, really going and Twitter, et cetera. But you want to build your audience. I've seen this a lot of articles and such. You do want to build your audience sooner than later because it just, you know, that sense of anticipation, just so like Hollywood does. You have the posters out and the teaser, the posters in the movie theaters a year or so in advance, and they'll change and evolve, particularly with the superhero movies. You can do that by way of building an e-newsletter, a mailing list, with a mailing list, doing Facebook and Twitter. We got on Facebook and Twitter, I don't remember when, but we were on there at least a year before we world premiered. Actually, to where we were, it wasn't a year. I think it was early 2011. But Facebook, we got on about it. We've been on there for, I think, right about 2 years now. Those were key so we could think about who our audience was in more detailed demographics, how to get to them, where they were, where they weren't, and many, many other questions around that. But basically, who and where the audience was and what to do to connect with them, especially because we wanted to go to our core vegans, certainly in New York and, of course, around the world. But if the film was going to prove itself to be some sort of tool and useful, we needed to go to the non-vegans or even the vegetarians kind of being in this gray zone or green zone, even, if you will, but then going over to the omnivores. That's been really incredible, going back to any questions, to have omnivores write and say, I didn't want to watch this darn film, but, you know, Carol and Claire turned it on, and hey, I'm at the end of the movie now, and you taught me something. I'm going to think about more about what I'm eating, all the way to I'm going to change what I'm eating, right? I just changed what I'm eating or not eating right now. I see that, I don't know, maybe once or twice a week. That's always incredible to me as a 20-year vegan. I didn't change from omnivore to vegan at the drop of a hat. It took a few months to phase out. And to each their own journey is what our team has said and will continue to say. But, of course, we want people to reconsider and to think about the implications of the standard I don't know if I say American, but standard Western diet, and what that's about. And my personal thing I've been saying for years is I'm not trying to convert anyone to be vegan, which becomes a little less true the more work of the film, but more everybody in this in the U.S. needs to eat fresh vegetables every day. I think bringing that real food onto the plate quickly kind of shows up what else is and is not happening on the plate and elsewhere. That was a very profound thing I've seen and experienced myself. I ate vegetables for sure and enjoyed them, but just getting so many on the plate and that different feeling of energy, in many ways, less sleep, a better quality, clearer thinking, happier. Those were the key three things right away I noticed. I was eating other things, brown rice, pastas, better bread, et cetera. But I was eating no processed food at all. I was eating a Whole Foods, not to be confused with the store, diet. And that was actually kind of unexpected, even though I knew what vegan was, but I didn't know what all the benefits would be and how quickly I felt them.
May I ask a quick question? I know, Carol, I know that you watched the documentary twice, didn't you?
Yes.
You actually watched it? Yeah, you really gave it a thorough look over. What was your overall impression? What touched you about the documentary?
Well, I loved the story. I loved watching them take average people and send them on a quest. But the key to it was I got to see these people put their foot into another world and how they reacted. And they were all different. So you had three different characters going on. You also had so much information about what happens to your food, who's in the food chain, and how it's delivered to you. That is enough to frighten anyone to death. But the key to me was the hand-holding, the nurturing between the filmmaker and the three people who had donated their lives to changing for 30 days and working with them. I loved the film because I could associate with these people and what I learned and what a brilliant idea it was. And I thought, Dimitri, that you did a wonderful job technically. Camera work, editing, the short clips that you put in, everything worked for me. It was very engaging, and I sincerely thank you for this educational film.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for watching and supporting us.
Well, we've just got 2 minutes left, and I would really love for you to wrap up with any final tips that you have for filmmakers, documentarians, or independents that need to know how to get your film across that bridge, as you mentioned it.
Just like in the early process of screenwriting, if there is a script, no, there isn't always, check in with other people that aren't just yes people who can really add dimension to what you're thinking and proposing, whether you're at a post-production stage, production stage. I know that happens in real time, pre-production, and even in release. People want to help. There's a ton of information by Googling, but sometimes it's just calling a friend or family member and just clarifying the problem, and if you think you have a solution or not, and just discussing with them. I think a lot of times creatives, particularly filmmakers, but not only filmmakers, push themselves off into a bubble. A lot of these issues are specific to film, but if you kind of blow them up in a macro view, they're problems that many other creatives face, and creatives and or business people. And people want to help. People want to see more fresh film projects, shorts, features, and in between and otherwise. Let people help you by asking for help.
Excellent. This is so true. Because even if you call an entrepreneur, he or she's been through that. Probably.
Yes.
And
yes.
Basically, because you are entrepreneurs, showmakers have a hard time grasping that, but this is the truth. So your information is brilliant, and we sincerely thank you for taking the time to join us today. All of the filmmakers who listen to this will be more than educated. They will be educated on film production and marketing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having the show and having me on.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you, Demetrius. And just one last time, let our listeners know how they can be in touch and also find the film as well.
You can check out getveducated.com, BEGUACATED.com. The movie is most recently on Hulu with commercial interruptions. It's on Netflix Instant in USA and in Canada. It's on iTunes in most of the primarily English-speaking countries around the world. It's on Amazon Instant and certainly on DVD through Amazon in our e-store, getveducated.com/store. And we're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
And Instagram.
Great. All right. Well, good. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a wonderful hour spent with you and learning all of the good things that other filmmakers can do to support their films as well.
Thank you again. Best to you, Carol.
Radio.
Thank
you. Now, in its second edition, I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at fromtheheartproductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.